Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
My name is Velocity Child. Every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman. We will be waiting for you here on Radio Free Brooklyn. Velocity Child here at Fallen Woman. And actually, we are going to be moving to Fridays at midnight, beginning Friday, April 20th this month. Also, little disclaimer, the ideas, thoughts, and opinions of the fine folk on Fallen Woman do not necessarily represent Radio Free Brooklyn. And if you like censorship-free music and radio, independence in your radio, please go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge, and you can pledge as little as a dollar a month. And tonight, we have the incredibly talented Ms. Faux-pas-la-fée.
Hi, everybody. Hey. It's actually Mrs. Faux-pas-la-fée, because I'm married.
Well, I'm married too, but I always strike a Ms. So.
Oh, well, that's okay. Yeah. Everyone's different that way.
Yeah. you're all tiny.
I'm vintage. Romantic, you know. Vintage, yeah. I'm vintage. I can't shake it from my past lives. Those things that stay with you.
Victorian roses.
There you go.
Yes.
They're better in your tea. They're better up your butt. Victorian roses.
And that makes you think of Craigslist. Because you set up your butt.
Oh well, that used to be a category on Craigslist. The up your butt category.
What was your favorite Craigslist category?
My favorite category?
Yeah, did you have one?
Well, because at the time I was most active on it, it was for professional reasons.
Oh, okay.
I used to have ads in multiple categories from different kinds of clients all the time.
Oh, okay.
And as a trans dominatrix, you know, you have a wider net you have to cast sometimes to be competitive.
Right. Well, a bit of a chameleon of sorts. Playing different,
I suppose.
Like an actress.
It's too expensive to buy new leather boots for every color you would chain, so you sort of have to stick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would often have ads running in, you know, like four different categories at a time. And that back page too, which is gone also.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, there was sometimes I used it personally back in the day for like a hookup, but mostly for professional reasons. And my disclaimer on Radio Free Brooklyn is nothing that ever happened in terms of money exchanging was illegal that I ever advertised on Craigslist. Yeah, it was for time spent only. Anything else was a totally voluntary experience that had nothing to do with business.
Absolutely. And speaking of legal mamma jamma, how do you feel about their crackdown on Craigslist and the ilk?
I mean, I think it's just another progression in, you know, some of the rules that they have been doing. I think they're attacking certain populations and imposing a very dogmatic, Christian-motivated
It's cultural warfare.
But I think they're doing it, sadly, in a pretty effective way, because they're not
why do they have to go somewhere so personal for it? It's terrible.
Well, but they're not going through courts. They're not trying to change laws. They're doing it by affecting businesses. And so if you tell a business
certain people's fetishes. Some people, it's not business. Some people are the patrons, you know. Some people are the ones that have to get their kink on.
But they're not, they're not doing anything to patrons or providers. What they're saying to the mechanism for connecting the patron and provider is, we'll punish you if we think you have anyone putting ads of a certain nature there. So the provider now is responsible for a fine or possibly losing sponsors, So they're pressured into going, this isn't worth our time. So that's why it's a pretty effective means. They're not really dealing with, and they don't even want to come out in the press and say they want to outlaw certain things, because that would create a huge legal battle.
Right.
They're doing it through purse strings of these businesses. That's how they're taking away the platforms for providers and patrons to connect in a safe and professional manner.
Mm.
And also gone are the days of the bored, random, there's a blizzard in New York and I'm single. Who is in my neighborhood on Craigslist? Oh, I'll be over in a minute.
I think Grindr and then Tinder took over that market.
You know, it was so much more fun when you had to take the time to write an ad and respond to ads.
Yes. There was and just, pick up a newspaper and was, read and see your ad in
there
the
was
paper.
Just something romantic and gross about it all at the same time.
It's very true. Yes. Cheers to that.
I'm getting sentimental about, you know, the age of salacious seedyism, but it's kind of dying, you know?
Right, like Times Square.
Young ones on Grindr and Tinder, sex is not an app. You should put a teeny bit of effort.
You need pheromones.
Your one-night stand should have a little bit of effort. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, when you pick your one-night stand up at a bar, the nice thing, the advantage you have over Tinder is actual pheromones.
Right.
And when you're swiping left and right, you're not picking up any pheromones. We have no idea. Because you might be going for that person. And then when you get there, they smell all wrong. Right. Right out of the gate.
That's true. Smell is a big thing.
Yeah, that I had that experience. It was very disappointing.
Right. That's why picking things from pictures, which are probably not accurate.
Right.
It's not the best thing, because you're going just on sight alone. And not even the sight of an actual person. You're going by an image on a phone.
Right. And that is why I don't use Tinder.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I'm married, so... So I don't need it.
Well, I'm married too, but
right. But you're a different kind of married.
Yeah, we
you're a Ms. As we stated at the beginning.
We're poly.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful. And that's why you use Tinder. That's why you're a Ms.
Well, I don't actually. No, actually, I don't use Tinder.
Oh, what do you use?
Not anymore. My wits.
Okay. Your
That's
wits.
It. Yeah.
This sounds like it's like a
That's
a,
it.
A
That's
National
all.
Geographic.
I gave up Tinder.
As we see the velocity child in her natural hunting habitat, you can tell she is pricked by her wits as she sees a potential sex partner.
Exactly.
She's from the species polyamorous genus Fuckaroundus.
Yes.
Okay.
Raptor.
Communication, kids. Whether you're in a one-on-one, a one-on-two, or a poly situation, always communicate.
Oh, that's key. Yeah, I keep no secrets.
There's a long pause waiting for secrets.
Yeah, there. I'm waiting for one of yours.
I don't have any secrets.
I am an
open magazine.
Open magazine?
Right. Right. I'm being replaced by online publications right now.
Oh, no. Tell me about the Brides of Burlesque movement you're in right now.
The movement? Well, that makes it sound so political.
It's kind of like you're creating your own performer movement.
I mean, it's sort of like a lot of things in life. It's sort of not planned and planned. You know, you kind of... We when my wife and I, Aurora North, started performing, originally the Brides of Burlesque was just, we thought, well, just say it as our tagline. And then we thought, that's kind of who we are. So it just became our brand as a duet couple. And we are both professional dancers as well. So we have a production company.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you consider yourself acrobats too?
I would I mean, what we do is hand-to-hand cirque acro partnering. Mm-hmm. That's our background in terms of circus arts. And while we're fortunate and we do perform quite a bit and get booked in tour, what we did feel like was that there still aren't as many platforms for one, an open lesbian couple doing work together, and then a trans woman on stage. And we felt like that we sort of had to create these spaces ourselves. So we now produce 3 shows. We were fortunate enough to be invited by Gregory and Jean, the owners of Bazaar Bushwick, mm-hmm. to do a monthly show, which kicked off last month. And it's called Eat Me, a Variety Show. It's every second Saturday at Bazaar Bushwick. Doors at 8, show at 8:30. And you will be on our next show.
I'm very excited to do
so. We're excited to have you. And so the Eat Me's run every second Saturday, so you can see us April 14th. You can see us again on May 12th. And you can see us on June 9th. They run and run and run after that, but, you know. The other exciting project that we started about a year ago at Coney Island, which we consider another home, is we produce a show twice a year, and one of them will be this summer, and it's going to be on June 22nd, coinciding with Pride Month. Mm-hmm. And Queer Coney is a vision we had to highlight LGBTQ circus and sideshow performers. So everyone cast is of that population, because historically queer people have always had a big presence in circus and sideshow, but we wanted to highlight that specifically and sort of bring that even more to the forefront for audiences. So that's a project that is near and dear to us. And then the other show we produce is sort of a special event show, and we launched it as a special event at Club Cumming, our lesbo variety show.
Oh, wonderful.
Which is a little more like...
I love that venue, by the way.
Like Broadway, but doesn't give a shit. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of... We have a home for it now at Stonewall Inn.
All 3 of those venues are spectacular.
I know. And Stonewall Inn is historic, and we had our bachelorette party there. So we have our next lesbo show on Saturday, May 5th, which will commemorate our 2-year wedding anniversary. And then what we're going to be doing one on June 16th, the Friday going into Pride Week, a lesbo variety show there, so that, you know, all the dykes in the dyke march can come out and get all revved up to go march and everything. Yeah. So we're doing a few things.
Just a little bit.
A few things, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, way to multitask.
Yeah. But our mission also, because we have, I mean, we consider ourselves, you know, people who've trained their whole lives in certain kind of arts, and we're having artists like yourself, we have singers, we have aerialists, sideshow people, and we are sort of, our mission with our shows, one of them, especially Eat Me Variety Show, because the door is $10, we bring world-class artists that are doing political provocative things, but we kind of feel like we're the like sort of dyke versions of Robin Hood. We're trying to bring this amazing stuff to you at a price you can afford. It shouldn't be just for, like, you know, the wealthy and stuffy people uptown. So right. Think of it like if we stuffed, like, the Met Opera and the ballet and the Cirque du Soleil, we put it in a taco truck and drove it down to Bushwick for you. That's what Eat Me is about.
Fabulous. I'm going to be bringing a little handmade action to your
okay.
Eat Me production.
That'll be exciting.
Yes.
So that's a departure for you being political. Wow. If that didn't read on radio, that was sarcasm.
I have a long, enduring relationship with that story, though. That story has always grabbed me.
So did you even read it when you were younger, before the reboot, or see the original movie or anything?
Well, let me tell you. I remember there was one afternoon, my mother was having a really intense crying fit.
Okay.
As, what the fuck? So, what's going on? Why are you crying? She said, I just finished reading this book.
Oh.
And I look, and she handed it forward, and I looked at it. I was, basically took it, said, "Oh, okay, I'll be reading this then. That looks like that must have been a good book."
So had she just read that book?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. She just read The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood, and I so was moved with it too when I read it. The ending didn't make me cry though. The uncertainty didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I saw hope in the uncertainty.
Okay,
but my mother's always been a pessimist, and I've always been an optimist. And when I was in high school, I even coined the phrase "being rebelliously happy." You know, happy in spite of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and then what was your overall sort of emotional feel of the book when you read it the first time?
I thought it totally resonated with the world that I saw around me. And this was in the Reagan 80s.
Yeah. Kids, if you think it's bad now, we survived Reagan.
Yeah, without a cell phone or the internet. Yeah, so that was, it was really, but it's honestly, I feel like it's the same feeling I had then about politics is rearing its ugly head now, mm-hmm. ugly orange head with tiny hands now, the bad hair in our direction. Worse than Reagan. Actually worse than Reagan, in my opinion.
I don't know. I think the reason that we perceive Trump as worse than Reagan is because of the times we live in. At the time Reagan was president, one, there wasn't social media, and it was still a time when he wouldn't say publicly the things that Trump will say now. I don't know if Reagan were here now, would he talk more freely? Because we know now, looking back, the awful things he and his wife said about people dying of AIDS.
Oh, absolutely.
But he would never say that in a speech or tweet it.
I think
the difference is Trump just feels free to say it in public. I don't think he's worse. I think he's just a monster that has no filters.
Dude, I hated Reagan so much that I wouldn't do the Pledge of Allegiance in high school.
Okay.
No
one should be forced
that.
To do a pledge in high school anyway.
Oh, they would get so angry when you wouldn't stand up in the multi-purpose room and put your hand over your arm.
Oh, I know. I was on a military basis.
I was one that I would sit down. I would sit it out. People would get really upset.
Protesting from the start.
I was. I couldn't stand Reagan. But this guy, this fucking guy right now, I'm sorry. I don't know. I definitely think he's putting us at risk with other countries with his buffoonery.
I think so, but I think that the horrible, hateful venom that he has really just given permission to a great number of people that already felt that way.
Validates every bigot on the block.
But I think we're at a point where there are many extremists on the far liberal side that have catching a virus act the same way now for their views. And instead of acting from a place of constructivity or being very destructive, and you don't even realize it.
Yeah, instead of coming from a place of resolution, they're just more interested in being right instead of actually creating resolve and therefore peace. It's like they're behaving like the fascists that they're fighting.
Well, it's really just doing exactly what the existing power structure wants. The existing structure of predominantly white cis hetero wealth that has run this country is fine with all of the rest of us going at war against each other. This is fine because then there is no threat to their way of life.
Yeah, we're not fighting the real enemy. We're tearing each other apart.
And at this point, that I think is more disheartening to me than our current president.
Yeah. I have to agree with you on that one, this thing. That's, it's sad to see a community tear itself apart.
Well, what community do you speak of, Velocity?
Well, I think anyone seeing their own community tearing themselves apart, right, in the name of PC or whatever, it's misdirected anger, in my opinion. It's like everyone's upset about what's happened and how it's going to impact the future. But if you, some people feel too powerless to do anything about it, and I think they just choose, I think it's easier for them to just hold someone else up, for example, that's, you know, standing next to them instead of fighting the real enemy.
Well, I think what the sort of toxic energy of our administration has done is point out where there was really lack of community and people thought there was one. For example, in the LGBTQ community, I think a lot of people had this perception of a nice, beautiful rainbow umbrella and everybody was all happy. But for years and years, there has been a hierarchy within it,
yeah,
that starts from a certain population within it and trickles down. And that is never to say that everybody of one population is bad, but it's just been the case for many years that there is, at times, over policies or where to put the effort and energy and money for queer rights, a big difference of opinion between cis gay men, mostly affluent,
mm-hmm,
and white, and then cis lesbians, and then bi or pansexual people, trans people, gender nonconforming people. This sort of food chain has always existed, and I think now these cracks that were always there are just more apparent. I don't think that they showed up. And I think the same thing is true of many communities. People were able to just look beyond the problems. You know, it was like, oh, the elephants in the room were friendly and pink. And now since Trump, the elephants are stomping around and they've turned a yucky color of oozy green.
Yes.
And so now we think the elephants are new. They were always fucking there, but we just didn't say anything about them. And an elephant is a Republican, so.
And I feel that way about the Me Too movement in the sense that the elephant's always been there. We just didn't say anything about it before. Everyone's acting like it's such a big surprise. Oh, wow. You mean women get sexually harassed all the fucking time? Yes, we do. But unfortunately, I feel like it's a good excuse to smite your enemy sometimes by claiming a falsehood. As a rape survivor three times over, it is frustrating when I see some falsehoods coming forward. It makes it hard for the people who are actually assaulted to come forward. That's all I'll say on that matter. And now, faux pas,
yes,
it is your turn to bring forth a new subject.
A new subject.
Yes, let's get off this sticky wick.
So I'm always fascinated when I meet a performer that has a pet. That's my
yes.
segue into something
Performers
more pleasant.
Performers and pets is awesome. Yes.
I find when people post
Thank
online,
you. Thank you.
I'm so delighted to know. I like to know, you know, we see each other backstage and we see each other at sort of festivals. But whenever, I think it's fascinating when I either get to know what someone does in their muggle job or
uh-huh.
has a pet. And it's like, oh, now I can, you know, you're more of a person to me than just
Yeah.
seeing you. Because we all have sort of those spheres.
Your
we have
pet the, does say a lot about
it does.
You.
It We
think.
Have sort of the people that are our show family and like really close and intimate. Then we have our friends and good friends within mm-hmm. burlesque. Then we have our sort of acquaintance friends. And then there's sort of that, everyone else that we know. And they're a Facebook friend, but we don't know you really well.
Right.
So Yeah, knowing if someone has a pet, doesn't have a pet, what it is, what kind, how, you know, that how they interact, that is fun. And I think it is one of those necessary things that like helps balance and relieve the pressure and stress of the current state of things.
Yeah, it's very grounding to think of nature and the earth, and when you think of someone's pet, it often is how they relate to nature in general reflects in their pet of choice. Yes.
What kind of pets do you have, Velocity? I'm asking that for the radio audience because I know what kind of pets
I
Velocity
know you are, yeah.
has.
I have two snowshoe Siamese. They will be 9 years old next month. Sadie Lady and Sookie Sue, and they are litter mates, they are sisters. And I have a decade-old turtle that I bought in a 99-cent store.
He's swimming right over here, like in
His
a
name
red
is
light
Mickey.
district
He's very
aquarium.
big now. Yes, he's got the red light on now. It helps him have experience nighttime while keeping the heat on.
That's right.
Yeah. He's getting ready to bask. He's
Well,
getting
there's
ready
a
to
big red
mount
light right
his.
over his little land space.
Yeah, so it
And
heats
since
his
it's a red
shell.
light, it means there's a peep show there and free
Yes.
drugs. That's what's happening.
It's his little Amsterdam.
When you go see a peep show as a turtle, that means the shells are coming off,
Yes.
everybody.
Yeah. Oh, it's the Turtle Ranch. You've heard of the Bunny Ranch, right?
I have. And the
Yeah.
chicken ranch.
That's right. There was a chicken. Is there still a chicken ranch?
No, it was shut down.
Where
They wrote a
did?
musical about it, The
Was
Best Little
it? Oh,
Whorehouse in
that was the.
Texas.
And was it? Oh, well, so that answers my question. It was in Texas.
That's right.
And the Bunny Ranch is Reno, Nevada.
But it's legal there. I mean, you can have a mistress in Texas. It just can't be like, publicized, and she can't make any money or be her own woman. She has to be subservient to
When
you.
was the chicken ranch shut down? What
Oh
decade?
goodness, that would have been probably in the 70s.
So they've been around for quite some time.
Right, yeah.
Since like what, the 20s?
I know it existed in the time of the Depression
Oh, the
because it got
30s.
its name the Chicken Ranch because
Oh, did they serve chicken and waffles?
customers were too poor during the Depression to pay cash, so farmers brought chickens to pay to spend time with the women. And so
Yes.
that's how they had eggs and food. The
Right.
women working there
Breakfast.
got a room and board, and so to survive the Depression, and it became known as the Chicken Ranch because he took a chicken to spend time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that must have been quite a kitchen.
That's right.
I wonder how, yeah, I wonder what that kitchen was like.
Was probably over it was probably over easy a lot, but no.
That was saucy.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm imagining it has some kind of like, hooker cauldron with panties boiling in it.
Always sanitize your sex toys afterwards. Now that
I
we're
am writing
speaking of
down hooker
boiling things,
cauldron.
everybody, now that we're speaking of boiling water and sanitation, once it's gone in anywhere in your body or your play partner's, clean it before it goes in anything else.
Yes. Have you done a lot of survivalist stuff?
You have to be more,
Do you
what do
ever
you,
see that TV
specific?
show? You ever see that TV show Naked and Afraid?
I know of it. I it was
You
a
gotta see
stupid
it at least once.
concept.
It's not. Let's put it this way. It's brilliant because it's a stupid concept.
The only time I was naked and afraid was the first time I had sex.
It's really just you're watching two masochists go into a 20-day
Mean like a presidential debate?
thing together. Oh, kind of, but worse. Like they're literally
It should be
barefoot. They
naked
don't
and
even
I
have
want to be
shoes.
president. Naked and I want to be president. Oh, that should happen.
Naked and I want to be president. I want to be
No
president.
podiums allowed.
get an elected.
You know, we want to know these things about our elected officials.
So do you know anything about the TV show Naked and Afraid?
I know the concept.
Take like a man and a woman, they usually like pair them up horrifically. Like they have the worst.
You mean like most marriages?
Mismatch. They totally mismatch them on purpose. And then they have to spend 21 days together completely naked with no shoes, no food, no water.
Right.
And they each get like one tool. Somebody has a machete. Somebody has a fire starter.
No condoms. I'm just saying.
Well, there's a camera crew, so.
So maybe
and usually
they have
like one of them's a born-again Christian and the other one's an atheist.
Why would a born-again Christian go be on a show where they're going to be naked with a stranger for a month?
Because they're being masochistic.
They're being paid. What are they thinking?
I don't know if they're getting
I don't
a
even
lot
understand
of money
that,
for that
to be
now. Honest. That's why I think it's masochism. They don't win a prize. That's the fucking thing. They win nothing. Just the status. They get
but,
the status of.
But it is
they made
a lot of exposure, everybody.
Yeah, clearly. Oh my God. But it's some scary ass. You should see what happens to these people. Like, they end up in hospitals.
You mean because of the challenges to survive?
Dude, yeah. For real, man. They're like in the Amazon. They're covered in ants. The bites they get all over their bodies and. Get all mangled and dehydrated and they vomit and the best is when the vegetarians cry because they
but that happens
they have
in New York every day
because they have to eat a bug they're eating life
okay
and
no
they're
see,
horrified.
Here's what I want to see I want to see Survivor
the vegetarians that make me the happiest
I
want to
see
show.
Survivor New York. Four people from the Midwest are dropped off in downtown New York with $12, no picture ID, and no resume, and nowhere to live. Go. That's what I want to see.
What would you call that show? What would it be called?
It would be called Fucking Good Luck. That's what it would be called.
Down. Oh my God.
You know.
Naked and Elected or Fucking Good Luck?
Because the problem with that show is you'd get an episode and a half and they'd all be dead probably or something
oh
already.
My God. Or high. Or, you know, swept up in a...
I don't probably watch those nature survivor shows because camping for me is like that my hotel room opens directly to the outdoors. Then I'm camping. It's like, oh, it's one of those. I'm camping now. My breakfast is like the Dunkin's across the street, and I have to go get to the ice machine to get ice. That's camping.
Yes. Glamping.
No, that's not even glamping. That's camping.
That's, yeah.
I'm a horrible lesbian. I'm sorry. I can joke about cliches about lesbians because I am one.
You know,
that's
just,
your
you,
next
you
rule,
just,
kids. You can only joke about your own population.
You're not interested in being rustic.
Well, you know... I'm not.
Right. Oh, neither is Suki Sue, apparently.
I mean, it's not what... Okay. My wife and I are very handy lesbians, but when we do a home project, it doesn't take place in a garage.
Right.
And it's not very mechanical. We spend our entire winter holiday... sanding and refinishing and repainting our countertops in the kitchen and our coffee table, but they're all encrusted with glitter. That's
yes.
The kind of lesbians we are. Femdykes. They're both femdykes, everybody.
Yeah. I've got, you're going to be leaving here with some glitter on you, I'm sure.
Oh, well, yeah. I sweat glitter, so it's fine.
Well, I do a lot of, you know, with the House of Hag stuff.
That's right. You have an amazing new business that you are getting
House
out there.
House of Hag.
The House of
Hag. .com. And that's HAUSOFHAG. House of
like
Hag.
Like the German house. Like
yes.
Haus.
Yes. Yes.
Haus.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you concoct for this? What do you conjure for this business?
Oh, what do I conjure? authentic artisanal magical crafts and curiosities.
Look at that.
Hand conjured by House of Hag.
And yes. you have a store.
Yeah.
That's do you the see story. How do you see how I've switched it and I'm interviewing Velocity yeah. now?
Yes.
So how do people find your store?
I just been saying House of Hag.
Right, House of Hag what .com?
.com goes straight to the it goes go. Straight
it could have been a .org or a .net or a .me.
It's .com.
.com. Right. There's a lot of suffixes now.
And archives of this show, by the way, can be found at fallenwoman.com.
Fallen Woman. That's right. I fell and got my first concussion at 2.5 and stitches in my forehead.
Really?
I started falling at an early age. So I'm very sensitive when someone says, what, did you get dropped on your head as a baby? And I'm like,
oh, no.
As a matter of fact, I did it myself, motherfucker.
Curiosity killed the cat.
And I've had 4 concussions in my life.
See? It's because you're so curious, because you're a Leo.
Or I'm so blonde that I don't know where I'm going. But either way.
And where do we find you in cyberspace?
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us at Faux Polyfay and Aurora North. That's our Facebook page. If you're looking for just me on Facebook, it can be a little confusing because you have to go to my muggle name, R.E. Faye Bronson Davidson, parentheses, Faux Polyfay. But you can go there as well. You can always go to the Bazaar Bushwick website to find our show listing. And there'll be a website for our production company, Kinetic Cabaret Productions, very soon. Aurora North, who's the technical guru of our operation, is working on that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do those things. I wear an apron and I make all the food.
You're the lipstick lesbian. I'm the Doris, you're not the bad lesbian. No, you're just a lipstick lesbian.
I'm a Doris Day Dyke. That's how that works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can bake a cake.
I can. And then I can shove it up my ass for you on stage.
With butter.
Well, I do lots of things with butter. I'm from the South. So.
Right? Cheers.
Don't use butter as lube, kids.
Thank you so much.
You don't want the cholesterol spike.
I love you.
Always got to teach, you know?
There is a house in New Orleans. They call the rising sun. And it's been the ruin of many a poor girl and me. Oh God, I'm one. If I listened to my mama, Lord, I'd be home today. But I was young and foolish. The devil led me astray. Go tell my baby sister not to do what I've done. In the house of the rising sun. My mother lived in a trailer where she used to scream. My daddy, he's a gambler down Lanes. divide is when he got drunk. He takes his anger from her bed and brings his pain to town. Only pleasure he gets in life is bringing a good girl down. He's got one hand around her throat, the other on his knife. He celebrates his nightmares to save his own life. And me, I wait in New Orleans, the game my love has won. I'm staying here to end his life down in the rising sun. I'm staying here to end his life down in the rising sun. Is oro vila gra, is oro vila gra, shabober ole de vader o ganyairi an laba. Oro, 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 is oro vila gra, is oro vila gra. Agus oro vila gra, go shulig il fluin ya martin droch da lemo gra. Oro, 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 is oro vila gra. Is oro vila gra, is oro vila gra. Go shulin tra parke tiampel er mo gluin il lemo gra. Oro, 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 is oro vila gra. Sorrow, we look wrong. How much rock is awesome? var sjokken kjør i jule storm og frier hevne karike barn. Åre, 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 sår og hvile grå. Det sår og hvile grå, det sår og hvile grå. Det dagt jeg fatt av lomme lå med kjælok en av lår. Åre, 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 sår og hvile grå. Det sår og hvile grå, og det sår og hvile grå. Shababar ole da vader o ganyairi an labar Oro 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 soro vila gra
Enna heriye ea, enna bismillahi Enna darrahimani, enna darrahimi Enna jaghfilmani, enna darmanna Enna hini shinshan, enna dashrufinne You, I was lonesome, and when you came inside, dear, my heart grew light, and this old world seemed new to me. You're really swell, I have to admit you deserve expressions that really fit you, and so I've racked my brain hoping to explain all the things that you do to me. By me, a bit of shame, please let me explain. By me, a bit of shame. Means you're grand. For me, a bit of shame. Again, I'll explain. It means you're the fairest in the land. I could say Bella, Bella, even seven derbar. Each language only helps me tell you how grand you are. I've tried to explain. By me, a bit of shame. So kiss me and say you understand. By me, a bit of shame. You've heard it all before, but let me try to explain. By me, a bit of shame means that you're grand. By me, a bit of shame. It's such an old refrain, and yet I should explain. It means I am begging for your hand. I could say Bella, Bella, even seven de ba. Each language only helps me tell you how grand you are.
Hell. And this ain't a girl group. We just travel in a pack for safety.
This is how I walk home at night.
My dad gave me a pink gun, so there's a lot there.
My little trick? If someone's following me, I put my arm up like this, and I go, because then he'll be like, she's not worth the trouble.
Welcome to hell. Now you're in our boat. Look at that guy. What is he up to in that trench coat? It's like a maze here, all full of boners. Hey, what was that?
Phew, just a cat. Wait, who owns the cat?
Could be a trap. Welcome to hell.
I guess it begs the question, whoa, why didn't you say something, baby girl?
Well, thank Double Daddy. We definitely did. For hundreds of years.
Aw, man.
But I guess no one, like, cared.
Because it kept happening again.
What?
And again.
Really?
And again.
Oh, come on!
Hey, just wanted to say, I think what you guys are doing is really cool. I get it. But you do know that it's like a million times worse for a woman of color, right?
Oh my God.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, let's get back into this.
Now, House of Cards is ruined, and that really sucks. Well, here's a list of stuff that's ruined for us.
Parking and walking and Uber and ponytails, bathrobes and nighttime and drinking and hotels and bed.
Nothing good happens in a bed.
Welcome to hell. This isn't new.
No, not new.
Our situation's been a doof since we got booze.
I got two booze.
That's why your mom was always so tired. Grab all your friends, mace in our hands. Welcome to hell. Yeah, it ain't fair, but pull up a chair. Welcome to hell.
Frustration. I'm the nuclear bombs if they're to hit.